Got it. Well, we'll call the meeting to order. This is the August 23rd, 2018 open public meeting of the Arizona State Personal Board is hereby called to order. I guess. All right, we're going to call for a public comment. So this is the time set for general public to address the board on matters not on the agenda. Are there any comments from the public? There being no comments, I move to the next agenda item.
I have a question.
Yes.
If I could. Robin, do we have the phone on or do we need to have it on?
We don't need to have one on. I put it on in case Kevin was going
to. So we're all here?
We're all here.
Oh, can we?
Should we turn the phone off?
Is it making noise?
No, but it just.
Okay.
Doesn't need to be on.
He doesn't like green lights.
I'm just thinking, who could be tapping our line?
Oh.
Right. Got to be the Russians. I probably shouldn't say that. Okay, so we'll...
Thank you, Robin. Okay.
All right, we will now move to the consideration of the prohibited personnel practice complaint of Wendy White versus Yuma County Public Defender's Office et al. Just to remind all parties, you'll each have 5 minutes to speak. And you'll be notified when your time is up. So would the representative for the respondent please come to the podium? Thank you, and you have 5 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Stacy Gabriel, and I represent the respondent, Yuma County Public Defender. Thank you for your time today. My client, both counsel from the Civil Division of Yuma County are here with me, Bill Kirkus and Teresa Fox. Before the board is a jurisdictional issue of first impression. The issue is whether this county, a county public defender is a public body for purposes of triggering whistleblower protection under the Arizona's public employee whistleblowing law. If the answer is no, as respondent submits, then this board lacks jurisdiction to hear this complaint. The starting point in the board's analysis of this issue is the text of the whistleblowing statute itself. And I do have copies of the definition because I'm going to refer to it. If I can quickly do that.
Thank you.
I'm limited in time. And I'll also give you another.
Thanks.
Unlike the term, what I've handed you, board members, is the definition section of ARS 38-531, and in particular, Section 5, it defines the term public body. And as you'll see, unlike the term county attorney, the term public defender is not mentioned in the definition. To get around this omission, the complainant and the hearing officer urge the board to interpret the term agency director broadly to encompass any head of a government department or office, which they believe includes the county public defender. But they offer the board no legal authority to support their position. Respondent, in contrast, has offered the board ample legal authority that strongly supports its position that the term agency director is intended to apply exclusively to a unit of state government. Respondent's legal authority consists of a combination of well-settled principles of statutory construction and case law that together stand for the proposition that on matters of jurisdiction, the whistleblowing law was intended to be construed narrowly. Given the limited time for argument today, I'm not going to rehash all the legal points set forth in respondent's brief to this board, but a few points bear emphasizing. As mentioned, the complainant and the hearing officer, without any legal authority, take the position that the term agency director should apply to any head of a government agency or office. If the board adopts that analysis, then the county attorney would necessarily be or qualify as an agency director because he or she is the head of the county attorney's office. If the county attorney is an agency director, then it logically follows there would be no reason for the legislator to include the term county attorney within the definition of public body, yet the county attorney is expressly included in the definition. There's a well-settled principle of statutory construction that applies here. In interpreting the language of a statute, each word or phrase must be given meaning so that no part is rendered superfluous. The complainant and the hearing officer's interpretation would, in fact, render the term county attorney superfluous. I also draw the board's attention to a case that we cited, that I cited in our brief, entitled McCormick versus Arizona Board of Regents. There, an NAU employee made a written disclosure of mismanagement to the head of NAU's IT department. The court found as a matter of law that the chief information technology officer did not qualify as a public body and dismissed the complaint on jurisdictional grounds. If the head of a department automatically qualifies as an agency director, like complainant maintains, then the IT director would necessarily qualify as an agency director under their definition, and the court would have reached a different result in that case. It's also worth noting, and this is the second document that I provided the board, that in complainant's board complaint, which is, was attached as Exhibit A to our brief, she conceded that her whistleblowing disclosure to the public defender was not a disclosure to a public body. And I quote from her complaint to the board, where she accused Mr. Breeze, the public defender, of terminating her to prevent her from bringing issues to the attention of the Board of Supervisors, and concludes her complaint with the following statement. Quote, I believe the whistleblowing protection extends to persons who have told the supervising employee, in this case Mr. Breeze, of their intent to disclose information to a public body, which in this case is the Board of Supervisors, and who are then thwarted from doing so by the unlawful employment practice of the supervisor. Complainant did not assert in her complaint that Mr. Breeze himself qualified as a public body because she properly recognized in her complaint that he did not. Unlike respondent, complainant and the hearing officer offer the board with no legal authority to support their interpretation of the law. Instead, they urge the board to expand the law's jurisdiction based on their subjective notions of fairness. Complainant, for example, argued in her response to the motion to dismiss that respondent's interpretation of the term public body would, quote, exempt high-level government employees from any consequences for taking retaliatory action against a subordinate employee after being confronted by the subordinate employee with their own problematic behavior. That's complainant's argument. And that's not accurate. The whistleblowing law does not require an employee to report her whistleblowing concerns to her supervisor. An employee under the law is free to report a supervisor's alleged misconduct to any of the litany of officers or offices enumerated within the definition of public body under the statute, without any conditions. In fact, in another case I cited in my brief, in the case called Drake versus City of Eloy, a police officer for the City of Eloy went outside her chain of command and reported her supervisor's alleged misconduct to the Arizona Attorney General. And in that case, her complaint was deemed proper and she survived a motion for summary judgment. Had complainant followed the same path, we wouldn't be here today. May I have leave to extend?
What case did you just quote?
Drake versus City of Eloy.
Drake?
Yes. May I have leave to extend my time?
30 seconds and we'll make sure the complaint has the same amount of time.
The hearing officer argues similarly that it would be patently unfair because it would to adopt respondent's interpretation because it would create different standards for disclosure to a public body for state employees versus county employees, and this outcome would prevent a county employee from seeking relief under the whistleblowing statute. And again, this argument is flawed because the standard of disclosure to a public body is the same for all covered employees. You are not required to only complain to an official in the government body in which you're employed. You can go outside and complain. So that argument is flawed. And it's also flawed in that the hearing officer seems to argue that absolute parity between all covered employees is required under the statute, and that's not the case at all. Only a small subset of city employees are covered under the law, whereas all county and state employees are covered. So there is, on its face, not absolute parity. So in sum, I request that the board grant respondent's motion to dismiss and for lack of jurisdiction based on the legal authority we cited in our brief. If the board is inclined to deny the motion, I request that the board issue a stay of the evidentiary hearing to provide respondent an opportunity to appeal that ruling to the Superior Court. And thank you for the leave to extend my time.
Well, that's a big question.
I'm sorry. Are there any questions from the board for the respondent?
If I could ask a couple of questions. First, thank you. That was a succinct summary. I appreciate that. You mentioned, and the statute refers to county attorney. Is the public defender's office under the county attorney? So the county attorney is in hierarchy, the higher level organization?
No, the Board of Supervisors is the...
So both the county attorney and the public defender's office report to the Board of Supervisors?
Not the county attorney, who is elected. The public defender is an appointed position to the Board of Supervisors.
Okay.
The county attorney is elected.
The next higher level. Well, I guess if you're an elected official, you're not under.
Yeah, I think there's no. If we're looking at an org chart, I wouldn't put the county attorney under the Board of Supervisors. Maybe for some administrative matters, but the county attorney is elected. The public defender is appointed by the Board of Supervisors. And in my brief, I attached as an exhibit the document, the resolution by the Board of Supervisors, I think in 1995, creating the office of the public defender. And that was up to the discretion of the Board of Supervisors.
All right. My next question is, you referenced that in the statute, cities are not covered, for instance. All city jobs are not covered.
Not all of them. No. Some of them are. Mm-hmm.
The cities typically have a personnel commission or something that is there body that's similar to our body, so that would be their appeal body.
Not always, but sometimes. Mm-hmm.
So if they don't have that, well, let's go a different route. So what is the equivalent level of the personnel commission or the personnel board in this case in the county? Is there a personnel commission in the county?
For purposes of the whistleblowing law, the law allows the county to opt into this system.
Okay.
So this is for whistleblowing matters of whistleblowing. So this is the sole avenue for Yuma County. Yuma County has opted into this system. A county can create their own personnel system, which would be in lieu of basically co-opting this system for whistleblowing purposes. And Yuma has not created that personnel system in lieu of the personnel board.
Okay. I have no further questions.
Mr. Chairman. So are there multiple public defenders, or is that the head of that office?
There's only one appointed public defender, and of course there's, public attorneys within that office.
Okay. And so that title reports. Of public defender is, there's one in Yuma?
Correct.
Okay.
There's a legal defender, but that's a different story, not part of the public defender's office.
Okay.
Similar role.
Thank you. But nothing further.
No question.
You mentioned the complainant or the director of the public defender's office did not have jurisdiction since they were simply a director. Where should the complainant have gone? What's the proper avenue to file a whistleblower complaint in Yuma County?
If you look at Section 5, the complainant could have complained to any of those enumerated offices, and in her complaint, the second Exhibit A to my brief, it appears that she viewed her, where she was intending to go was the Board of Supervisors, which would have been a properly filed complaint because the Board of Supervisors of the county mm-hmm. is listed, and that she's claiming that she went, her complaint to the public defender was not a whistleblowing complaint, but it was, he thwarted her from making a complaint, which we dispute factually and disagree with, but we're not here to discuss the merits today. So she had, but she wasn't bound to go to a county-associated office, just like the police officer in the city of Eloy. She went to the county attorney. There was nothing to prevent the complainant from going to the governor, to the legislator, to the county attorney, to any of these listed, enumerated public bodies.
Any other questions?
Sure. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. And this time, I will ask the complainant to please come to the podium, and you will have 5 minutes and 30 seconds.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
And lady. I am not going to belabor the points that have already been raised. I would agree, of course, with the hearing officer's findings of fact and conclusions of law and recommendation to this board. I would just point out a couple of disagreements that I have in addition to those cited in our, and I'm assuming that the board has had the opportunity to review the hearing officer's findings of fact and also any other documents that were filed previously. All right, so I don't want to just go over all of that. Just a couple of points that I would like to make here. First of all, the respondent's argument really takes kind of cuts through the argument she's making by claiming that the agency director term in public body is meaningless. The argument that the respondent has made is that all of the other terms, particularly county attorney, are meaningless. But in fact, the argument that the respondent is making renders the term agency director meaningless. In my complaint, the complaint states, as I've alleged, that I raised the complaint to Michael Breeze, who is the public defender, I live in Coconino County now, for Yuma County. He is the one and only public agency director for that department. The respondent essentially is saying that agency director is meaningless, because if the public defender is not an agency director, then who is an agency director at the county level? The respondent is attempting to argue that agency director only refers to directors of state agencies. However, as the respondent noted at the very end of the argument, the only way in which an employee of a county agency can raise a whistleblower statute, can invoke the jurisdiction of this board there is no comparable board in Yuma County under which to raise this type of action. And so the only administrative remedy that a county employee has is to this board. So if we're going to argue, or if the respondent's argument is correct, then really an employee who raises an issue with a county agency director as opposed to a state agency director has no recourse to this administrative board. And the hearing officer's recommendation essentially says the same thing, that when agency director should be read as being fundamentally the same whether the agency is a state agency or a county agency, and whether you call it an office, a department, an agency, or something else. So the public defender is a department of Yuma County or any other county in which a public defender has been set up. That person is the director of that agency. So I don't. Some of the questions that were asked concern whether or not public defender is equal to, say, the county attorney. And yes, they are on a par. I actually was the legal defender in Coconino County myself for a number of years. And from a county perspective, administratively at least, the county the legal defender or public defender is on a par with the county attorney, regardless of the fact that the county attorney is a elected official, and the fact that the public defender is an appointed official. They're still on a par. Both still do report to the Board of Supervisors. The Board of Supervisors is the one that actually does approve of the funding for the agency, et cetera, et cetera. So the other part of respondents' argument that is somewhat does not really follow the law. Statutory construction is a term of art that's used when a statute is ambiguous. If a statute is unambiguous and the language is plain, you don't need to resort to all of these other statutory construction rules. And in this case, the language of the statute is unambiguous. It says any agency director in addition to those who are listed. Now, I would postulate that the reason that the public defender's office or the HR department director's office or the treasurer's office or the finance department of any county is not specifically listed is that, as with the public defender, not every county has all of the same offices. So, for example, not every county in Arizona has a public defender system. There are some counties in Arizona that actually just have a contract attorney who works as the public defender's office. In other words, there's a separate private attorney in some counties who acts in the function of indigent defense, but that person or that law firm is not a county employee, and so there's no office of the county public defender in some counties. So each of these, I would suggest that the reason there is not a listing ad nauseum of each and every separate office in a county within the statute 38531 is because not every county is set up the same way. So, and again, if we're looking at agency director as the respondent's argument is that agency director is rather meaningless when it comes to county organization as opposed to state organization. Yes. Then that's all I have. I'm not going to. Oh, but if I might. Have 2 seconds, 1 second, and I just object to the stay. Thank you.
Are there any questions from the board for the complaint?
No.
All right, thank you.
All right, well, after that, do I have a motion from anyone on the
board? I'll make a motion.
Thank you.
I move we adopt the hearing officer's finding of fact and conclusions of law as our own. I further move the board send the matter back to the hearing officer for a hearing on the merits.
And just for clarification, a yes vote means we do not have jurisdiction. Is that correct?
No.
A yes vote means this board does have
jurisdiction. We're sending it back to our hearing officer.
Okay.
For the hearing officer to review the merits of the case.
Okay.
So we are accepting jurisdiction.
Okay, thank you. I want to be clear.
Yeah.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed?
Nay.
Okay. The ayes have it. The motion has passed. Thank you. On the agenda, there is an item, number four, discussion of the executive director position. We will not be discussing that in the public sector. Do I need a motion to not discuss?
No.
Okay, thank you. With that, we will adjourn the meeting. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Meeting? Sorry. Ayes have it. Meeting's adjourned.